Good morning. So we somewhat have come to a conclusion of Romans, so we're going to maybe go to some topical sermons. This morning it sort of ties in and sort of doesn't back to Romans with the prophecy and mystery, so we'll tie in a little bit, but we may do a couple topical sermons for the next couple weeks, and then we may probably pick another book to go through. But this morning I wanted to talk about tithing versus giving. And I believe most churches teach rather emphatically that Christians should tithe, that it's a requirement that we tithe, that we have to give 10%, that we're told to give 10%. A lot of people have said, well, I thought we were supposed to give 10%. Again, that refers to the word tithe. It's a term derived from an old English word that meant to pay or give a tenth part of one's income. Many Christians throughout the years have supported tithing, and it ties back to the Old Testament. Abraham and Jacob, they gave tithes. So this morning I have some good news and bad news, and I'm going to answer the questions before I even do my sermon. The good news is you don't have to tithe anymore. I do not believe it's scriptural. I do not believe it's biblical. I don't think it has anything to do with us today. The bad news is I believe we should give more than 10%. So the first couple questions I have, why do some believe that we must tithe? And argument number one goes back before the Mosaic law. Abraham and Jacob gave tithes to the Lord. Since the practice of tithing appeared before the law, everybody believes that it must transcend or go above the law. And that transcendent quality means tithing has to apply after the time of the law, right down to our day. But this is flaw of this. There's a flaw to this argument. To argue whatever existed before the law must exist after the law poses some real problems. Let's first look at Sabbath. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Everybody here knows what Sabbath is. Jesus Christ worked 6 days. God the Father worked 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. And in Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 through 11, it says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them, and the rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So again, this is before the law. They were to rest on Sabbath. Sabbath was a thing that they were to follow. The Sabbath was crucial. If you jump over to Romans chapter 14, 5. And if you're here on a Sunday morning, you don't observe Sabbath either. Romans chapter 14, 5, and a few months ago we talked about this, but in Romans chapter 14, 5, it says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. There is no Sabbath today. There is no important day of the week. I believe each and every day we need to praise the Lord, we need to worship the Lord, we need to look up to the Lord. But if Sabbath is done away with, we can't use that for the argument of tithing. The other argument that I have is believers are no longer under the Mosaic law. The commands stipulated in the Mosaic covenant are no longer in force for believers today. You can jump over to Romans chapter 6 if you're right here. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Here he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. We are no longer under the law. Tithing has nothing to do with us. Another point is the tithe is tied to the land of Israel, received under the old covenant. Israel was supposed to celebrate a tithe every 3 years in Jerusalem. There's no way that we can apply that to us today. It related to the Jews as a nation, the Jews who lived in a land of promise with the coming of Christ. The Jewish nation is no longer the focus of God's people. The earthly Jerusalem is no longer central in God's purposes. Believers are part of the heavenlies. We are now the body of Christ. We've been going over the last couple of weeks the body of Christ to the kingdom. That kingdom and the nation of Israel, all that had to do with tithing, to give a tenth. That had nothing to do with us today. The other thing that was put away is the sacrificial system. You can even go back to Genesis chapter 4:4, where the first animal sacrifices occurred in Genesis 4:4. And Abel, he also brought of the first things of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But the sacrificial system is done away with. The law is done away with. It is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can now have eternal life. Tithing is no longer a requirement or a commandment for us today. The other thing that I found out while I was studying is that tithing is nowhere mentioned in Pauline epistles. There's only once or twice in the Gospels that they use the word tithe. It is all in the Old Testament. When Christians are instructed to give to the poor, they aren't commanded to give the poor tithe. Instead, they are instructed to be generous in helping those in need. So like I said, the good news is I do not believe we're required to give a tenth anymore. The bad news is I believe that we should give more than a tenth. If you'll turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, he says here in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We have received so many blessings from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have received salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us freely his grace. He has given us freely his mercy. He has given us so much. When God gave us his Son, he wasn't withholding anything. He was giving us everything. He was pouring out every spiritual blessing. Not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it, but because we're his children. He's our Father and he wants to give us everything. That's the gospel, that God is not withholding anything from us today. He's not withholding his Son. When we realize what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary, when we realize the spiritual blessings that we have received in Jesus Christ, that should destroy our greed and should be impacting our giving. That should force us to want to give. You know, if our giving remained the same, only tithing, nothing more, then we'd say nothing changed from the Old Testament. That's all he's worth. Nothing has changed, but it has all changed because he sent his Son. He sacrificed his Son. He poured out all his blood for us. And I believe our giving should reflect that precious truth. You know, I think many of us would like to argue that tithing is an Old Testament command. And we do this so that we can give less. I think the minute we say, "Oh, I gave my tenth and I'm done," I can ignore it. But I believe we're stealing blessings from ourselves by doing that. You know, our giving should be the way that we show the world what Jesus Christ has done for us. Our giving should show the world the love that we have for him. You know, in the Old Testament, people tithed, they gave a tenth. It was the standard. But I read an interesting fact. Today, the average American church member only gives 2.5% of their income. With 25% of the average American church member giving nothing at all. And my first point, this has nothing to do with Grace Bible Church. I don't believe your giving has to come to the church. At the end of the year, I would like you to go through and see how much you gave away. I don't care if you spend it on your neighbors. I don't care if you spend it on the homeless. I don't care if you spend it on missions. It does not have to come to Grace Bible Church. That may be the only way that you touch that neighbor's life, by giving them something, by showing them the love of Christ. We may not here at Grace Bible Church know that neighbor, know that situation that they're going through. If you need to take your offering that is going here and give to them, do that. The Lord Jesus Christ will keep the doors open here at all times. There's nothing here that he can't do on his own. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our time. He does want us to give, though. He calls us to give. What gospel are we pointing to and telling the world of when we give like this? Like I said, I think when we have the word tithe, we cap it. And I think the real question is, how much dare we keep from the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're only giving him 10%, you're keeping 90. Seems a little out of balance to me. The heart of the greedy asks, how much do I have to give? But the heart of generosity says, how much do I get to give? How much do I keep? Everything you have, money, wealth, health, house, whatever it is, the vehicle you're driving, your capabilities, your abilities, your talent, is all given to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you only give him 10% back, you're actually stealing from him. I'm not telling you have to give all 100% back, but give sacrificially. Give until it hurts. Feel it. Do what the Lord Jesus Christ did. When Jesus died on that cross, he had every one of us in mind. All of us, every tribe, nation, tongue. When God blesses us, he has always has in mind the blessings of the nations. He blesses us that we may be a blessing. Jesus gave us his everything. We can help the orphans, because at one time we were all orphans. You know, God is calling some of us to pay off a debt, not your own, but maybe somebody else's. Jesus paid off your debt, a debt you could never repay. Did we deserve him? Did we deserve to have eternal life? Did we deserve that salvation that he gave to us? And I don't even know if this is true, but I've always heard that Christians have such a terrible reputation with tipping in restaurants. Waiters hate to work on Sunday because they don't get that large of a tip. What a sad time to be living. Give. Be willing to give. Write on it. I don't care what you do. Say, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Leave him a tract. Tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't leave him a terrible tip and do that. It'll look bad. Leave a large tip. Be the light. Be the light. Tell them that Jesus loves them. You know, I think that's the way we've got to get the gospel out. I think there's many times that we can hear the voice of God say, hey, give. And sometimes it's radical. Sometimes it's out of our mind that we can't afford it, we can't do it, we don't understand it. And many times we'll just shut that door and ignore it. But next time, I promise you, you hear that voice of God, do it. Give. I am not a person that believes in the prosperity gospel. If you bring me $100, I'll give you $1,000. That's not the way it works. But I promise you will be blessed for it. You know, as I was putting this sermon together, I tried to buy a pendulum. Everybody know what a pendulum is with the five little balls? Every action has a reaction. Real quick, jump over to Galatians chapter 6 with me. Every action has a reaction. And when you give, that blessing can come back. Doesn't always have to come back with money. But it will come back. you don't understand how it works, maybe we never hear about it again, but there is a blessing in that giving. It will occur. In Galatians chapter 6 here, 7 through 9, he says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Anytime people hear the word consequences, anytime we talk about reaping what you sow, I think it's always in a bad connotation. We instantly believe that it's a bad consequence. It's a bad thing. The word consequence does not mean bad. The word consequent is a result or effect of an action or condition. We can all have good consequences, but it's based on what you do. It's based on whether you give or not. It's based on whether you help that person or not. It's based on what you do. What you sow, you shall reap. If you give, you will get back. Like I said, it doesn't always end in money, and I'm not telling you that you're going to instantly become wealthy. It's not that way. I look at my grandfather. He's one of the, he preached for 50 years, had very little money at the age of 85, but he will tell you he is the richest man in the world because all the way down through his grandkids, they're all saved. You can't go three or four generations and still have that salvation through the generations normally. But he will tell you he is the richest man alive. And when we begin to realize what the consequences are of what we do for others, we are blessed beyond all measure. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Number one, do you want to reap sparingly or do you want to reap bountifully? I'm telling you today to give. In verse 7, it says, "Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." I don't believe we're called to tithe because that becomes a necessity. That becomes a requirement. That becomes a commandment. Here it says, "For God loveth a cheerful giver." The only two things that I say is be consistent in your giving, whether it's to a church, whether it's to a mission, whether it's to, I don't care if it's $10. If it's all you can give, give. Be consistent in your giving. And the other thing I say is look for opportunities. There's time and time again, we are very blessed here in America. We have freedom. We can do what we want. We can get up and go where we want. We can do what we want. Find opportunities to give. My questions for you today are, how much are you holding back? Have you heard the voice of God lately and you said, "No, I can't do that right now because it's going to hurt too much. I'm just not capable." The other thing, I don't think it always has to be with money either. Many times we say, "I don't have the money, I don't have the talent, I don't have the capability." I read a book the other day that it said, "Always say yes and then figure out how to do it afterwards." Listen for the voice of God. I think 10% puts a cap on God. If you only give 10%, he can bless you very little. The more you give, that verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." That's the 10%. "But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." If we want to reap bountifully, give more. Give of your time. Give of your talents. Give of your energy. Give of your resources. There's so many different opportunities. When we're forced to give 10% to the church, I believe it can become a negative aspect. I can't believe the church is doing that with the money. I can't believe they're doing this. I can't believe they're doing this. But when you give with a cheerful heart, I don't care if you give here. I don't care if you give out there. I don't care what you do with the money. But many reasons to give is to find reasons to further the gospel. Many reasons to give is to help those in need, to show the love of Christ. I saw a saying this week. It said, "Do your giving while you're living, so you're knowing where it's going." Do your giving while you're living, so you're knowing where it's going. The only time I believe somebody is exempt from giving, if God has given you nothing. If you can stand up today and say, "God has given me nothing. I have no talents. I have no abilities. I have no health. I have no wealth. I have nothing." But even if we had none of that, we have a Son, Jesus Christ, that went to the cross. If you have put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary, He has given you His all. Why don't you give it back? Second Corinthians says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you by His poverty might become rich." He did not have to go to the cross of Calvary. He did not have to give up everything that He had. All the treasures, all the world, everything that He gave up for you and I. But He did. Jesus was rich beyond all measures in the heavenlies, but He gave it all up. He bore upon Himself the poverty of the cross. The church of Macedonia knew they were rich and never thought of themselves as poor. They felt rich and full, so they were able to give. Jesus Christ gave to the point that it hurt. Macedonia were able to join Him in His suffering and were able to do and give to the same point. In the Old Testament, the tithe was a standard. In the New Testament, Jesus changed everything. The cross is the new standard. You know, sometimes I think we need to give to the point to where we actually do without, where it hurts. I'm not telling you have to go without everything. But every now and then, go without that vacation. Go without that brand new car. Go without whatever that is and give until it hurts. Give sacrificially because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. What ways can I sacrifice and do without and give to the point that it hurts? God, what are you calling me to do in my generosity so I can point people to your generosity in giving us your Son and the gospel? You know, for a Christian, giving from the heart is all about knowing that we have a great, big, wonderful God and understanding who we are in Christ Jesus. As Christians, each and every one of us has been bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. When you know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and that everything that you have belongs to the Lord, and He is responsible to keep His promises to care for you, at that point, you can be a cheerful giver. So like I said, give consistently. I don't care where you give. You do not have to give to Grace Bible Church. The Lord will keep these doors open as long as He has intended. Look for opportunities. And be cheerful about it. And the more you give, the more joy it brings you. The more blessings it brings you. The more excitement it brings you. Look for those opportunities. Tithing or giving 10% ties us back to the law, ties us back to legalism. We are no longer under the law. But I do believe that we're called to give more than 10% because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Make your giving hurt this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what your Son did on the cross of Calvary. We just thank you that he went to the cross. He gave his all. I just pray that each and every one of us here find opportunities to give. It does not have to be to the church. Find missions, find orphans, find homeless, find people that need your Son. If you find opportunities, I pray that each and every one of them will be convicted this morning, that we'll reach out and say, yes, Lord, I will do that today. Yes, Lord, they need a saving Son. You don't even realize how that could pass down from generation to generation to generation just from one gift that you give to somebody else. We just thank you for your gift to us, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so we could have eternal life. And we're blessed beyond all measure, Lord. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.